All right, live from Space Coast Podcast Studios in Melbourne, Florida, it is the Melbourne Mayor Podcast. No longer on Wednesdays or Mondays, but now on Thursdays.
On Thursdays, Jesse.
And I think we're good on Thursdays.
No, Thursday's better because I have meetings, you know, normally the council meetings on Tuesday night and then Airport Authority Board on Wednesday. Monday night, so is the Portable Housing Committee. So Thursday is the best night. Plus, it's one day before what day? Friday.
That's right.
I know. So when this bores you and you just get tired of it, and you can at least know that tomorrow's Friday, that'll make you happy.
There you go.
Right?
You got a point there.
Thank you. You know, awesome. So how are you doing, Jesse?
Getting along, brother. Getting along. It's been a busy month.
I know. It's been crazy. Yeah. Man, it's crazy. So much going on. I had some meetings today. We have a big project looking that we're going to try to pull the trigger on downtown Melbourne at the real nice apartment complex right there on the water. Beautiful. Absolutely stunning. Probably a $100 million project.
Wow.
I haven't unveiled it yet, but we're not far from unveiling it in the next couple of weeks, and I'm just very glad. I'm parking garage, get another at least 100 parking spaces. It's right there off Melbourne Avenue by the Brightline, the bridge that goes over right there, Melbourne Avenue and Melbourne Court, the old SunTrust building.
I remember.
That's been abandoned for a long time, and we have somebody that's going to come in and put a nice apartment. I mean, amenities, it's something that you would see it. You know, that somewhere you go, if Delray Beach, it's beautiful. So we're looking that in and looking at, hopefully they'll close on 90 days and get started. So what's going to be interesting is, we'll talk a little bit about the Margaritaville, what's going on there and some other things. But what's interesting there is, if we see a downturn in the, economic conditions or the economy, that we'll have a handful of great projects going on that have maintained jobs and keep, the economy stimulated. Mm-hmm. We all know it's probably going to happen, but hopefully here in Brevard, maybe Melbourne, we won't see it as hard because, a lot of people depend on, those jobs and to support their families. So that's really important to me.
100%. And to keep the Melbourne area thriving.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you have a distressed property that's been abandoned.
Yeah.
It's a blight.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help anybody.
Hey, so. I had the Palm Bay Chamber. We had that mayor's roast. That was great. You weren't there. It was sold out.
I did not miss. I missed it this year.
But I had some great jokes. I had some good jokes.
Some zingers.
I almost got thrown out of there.
No.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Who's going to bounce
you, Wayne?
Well,
Nancy. No. I got Wayne good. I told the sheriff. I said, we're known in Brevard for the best sheriff in the country. And then I paused at the end. I said, we sure miss Jack Parker.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, it was great. It was like, there you go, Wayne. How you like that one? Oh, he was getting me good, though. But I come out with the one, and I said, look, we're number one in the nation.
Yeah.
U.S. News and World Report, number one. I said, they factored in West Melbourne, and we dropped to 15. And I looked at Hal Rose. I said, just like you, we made the short list.
No.
That's great. Look, it was good. Hey, Hal's great.
He's
over there.
Sport.
He's an amazing sport. It was funny. I thought it was. We had some great jokes. We had some great jokes, but they put a good event every year. The Palm Bay Chamber up in Cocoa, it sells out, and it's really breakfast with the mayors at the updates from the cities. And look, they only give you 5 minutes, and I got so much going on in Melbourne. If I'm going to get 5 minutes, I'm really going to make my time, and I'm just going to roast the other mayors. I mean, why not? People are coming there and they're eating breakfast.
Right.
They don't want to hear about our updates. They can come on our podcast and hear about the Melbourne updates.
Exactly, right.
I'm going to get my time. I'm going to eat my bacon and I'm going to fry them like the bacon. Great, great time.
It's a good roast.
Yeah, great time. Oh, I see my daughter's watching, Megan Alfrey. I see she's watching. Well, interesting.
Yay.
She must be. She says, hey, Dad, shouldn't you be cleaning your room? Oh, no, that's Madison. I'm sorry, Meg. Sorry about that. Shouldn't do that to you, hon. But no, everything else was going good in Melbourne. Let's see what she's going to say.
Hey,
Dad. Can we block her if we have to?
If we really have to,
we'll block Megan. I like that. Oh, it's clean. She said it's clean. I bet it is. Okay. But anyway, everything is going really well. We'll kind of get into the Margaritaville stuff here shortly and take some questions. I'm trying to fill in a lot of, we got a lot of stuff going on. But airport. Being on the Melbourne, Orlando, and I'm going to just refer to Melbourne International Airport.
That's what it is.
And that's what it is. You know, we got that big that big plane landing. Look at that thing. It's landing again. I mean, we had the airport was saying it had over 100,000 views when it landed couple weeks ago, but it's landing again tonight. It may have already just landed around 5 something. That's when it's scheduled. But that's one of the largest planes in the world. And that's pretty impressive.
And is it getting maintenance? What's the business of it?
Yeah, it's kind of maintenance stuff. I don't know exactly.
It's not bringing in cargo because that thing could, you know, haul a plane in itself.
Yeah, that I think it's like the second largest in the world. But seeing that thing come in, and most people don't know how big. We have one of the largest runways in the world at Melbourne.
That's right.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. So it's pretty cool. But to see that big thing, and it's
massive.
Yeah, it's massive. I think it's pretty neat. But, yeah, put the stats on. I think it's impressive. The other day at the airport, in our meeting, we were discussing the stats on the airport. Mm-hmm. But the other day, you know, there was some – I think it was Destination Bavard. I think he put it out that it was all the TUI planes that were out there. We had like 5 planes. But May 7th, I believe, was the busiest day ever for passengers for our airport. One day, I mean, that was the busiest day ever, we believe, on record. But if you look at that, just in one day, nearly 3,000 TUI passengers landed.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, isn't that crazy? You have 1,779 domestic passengers, so a total of 4,774 passengers in one day, 27,000 pounds of cargo, 5 TUI 787s processed. That's pretty cool to see them all like landed at the same
time. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then
that is busy.
Then we had other 3 787s and 2 787-8, 30 buses. And 62,000 gallons of fuel for TUI. Isn't that crazy?
That's amazing.
That's pretty amazing. That's one day at our airport. And, you know, those people are coming and spending money. They're staying, you know, here. They're going over to Orlando, O-Town. And it's pretty neat to see that them come in. And, you know, it's going to be coming our busy season. So that's really cool to see that happening, you know, with the $71 million or $72 million expansion that's done.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully now we get a good air show coming in. I know we couldn't do any during the expansion, but we had fun last time, Jesse.
We had a great time.
And we'll have another fun time again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The airport needs to do some fun things because unlike, you know, Cocoa Beach, which is a good production.
Yeah.
But when you have the flight path right over the river and all the boats are out there on the river, I mean, it's a really incredible sight.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Cocoa Beach, I was with their mayor, Ben Malik, here this last week. And you know, I got up Sunday morning. I was there at 6:30 for beach cleanup. And
that's very thoughtful of you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, and I was up there with Cocoa Beach Mayor Ben Malik. He, you know, we were up there with the Indian, they actually had their delegate from Atlanta come down. They had so many people. I put it on my social media page, but they had like several hundred people show up for beach cleaning. And what's pretty neat is they had probably, 40 or 50 young kids, and to see them get out of bed, Sunday morning to go clean our beaches. And it was funny because Ben was like, oh, and we're going to have a boat show or boat race, and we're going to have this. And I'm like, man, it was too much fun up here, know?
Well, they are the tourist attraction of you know, the Space Coast.
Yeah, they are. They do great up there. So have a lot of fun up there. So yeah, I was up there for that for this last Sunday. But the airport, everything's going great. I mean, we are looking at probably, I think I got to look at my calendar in a couple weeks. The hotel's opening up there as well. That Hyatt, yep.
Yeah.
That thing's going to open up, and it's a fly-in hotel. So not only will it serve people, you know, from just checking in, but people can fly from their plane and check in right there. It's neat.
And is there a way to get customs, or people could just fly in, not even see customs?
Well, stay? I think the customs, I think they pre-clear stuff. I don't know exactly the details.
Right.
Because
I think that's with most other fly-ins. It's, you know, if you come on a private jet and you stay on the property, if you don't leave the property, you really don't have to you know, go through immigration and other procedures. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So that's going to be pretty fun. So that's what we're looking at, too. Yeah, well, real quick, and we'll kind of touch on the Margaritaville. As you know, I did a post out there. I know the local paper did an article about the Margaritaville, and there was a lot of rumors out there. At first, what had happened, I kind of knew that this was going to happen for a couple months. That developer for Margaritaville, he's local. Mm-hmm. So unlike, you know, a standard Margaritaville where you'll have an outside entity come into town and
right.
build this, he had bought the property back in like 2018 or so, and 17, I think, and he bought it directly from the city. He wanted to put something good there. He invested a lot of time. He cleared like 23, 24, 25 easements, a lot of stuff state and federal. With the waterway, and then of course he attracted Margaritaville and got it in there. There initially when it came before us, I remember it was like a $65 million project, and then I heard $70 million, then I heard $75 million, then I heard $80 million, then I heard $90 million, and I think last time I heard it was like $100 million. So nice. It's just with the inflation and you know the interest rates and the, you know, the labor materials. Just in the last 3 or 4 years, anybody that's gone and bought something that they bought 3 or 4 years ago go, man, I can't believe it went up so much. So kind of knew this was going to happen. There's a lot of rumors that, oh, it's gone. That's not accurate. Right. A lot of people don't know he's also doing a project there on O'Galley next to the Azan Temple. There's houses going in there. If you look, there's 25 townhouses, and I think it's 9 or 10 houses on the water. And then in front, it's going to have a commercial development right there next to O'Galley High School. So he's doing that project at the same time. And to my understanding, he had expected to already have some of that built. They haven't poured concrete yet. So, you know, he's got it fenced off. It came before council this last Tuesday night for final plat approvals and stuff. So he's still on it, but he had to take a pause for a little bit for the Margaritaville. Now, they're still working on stuff at the below marina. I mean, it's a bummer that that's happening, but once the interest rates drop and once, you know, the loan to value, some of that stuff changes, he's going to crank back up. You know, he's already got out of his own pocket, I think $4.5 million out of his own pocket on that site. So, you know, I think what, maybe I shouldn't say it here, but I think what's happening is he gets something done. You get a draw for $3 million that you had planned 2 years ago, but it's costing you $5.5 million.
Right.
So, you know, he's got to get so much done, go back to the banks, and you know, it's not the time to borrow money.
No.
It's not the time to borrow money right now. And so, you know, that's unfortunately taking a pause, and, you know, I think it'll be fired back up here soon. But, you know, it is what it is. It's, you know, we just got to hopefully, you know.
Well, when you're sourcing and pricing and getting all the materials and getting all the estimates for the costs in 19, and then you have a pandemic in 20, and everything shuts down from 20 to 21, by the time you revamp, whatever you thought was going to happen in 19, well, you know, it just went through a whole big,
yeah,
you know, nobody can plan that. Nobody can really expect that and include that in a budget. Well, let's just include just in case, plus or minus 30% either way.
Right.
Like nobody really does that.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the issue with the Margaritaville. There was a lot of rumors. I got a call from Florida today, and they were asking me, hey, do you know anything about this? And of course, I'd talked to Harry, you know, the developer and you know, the owner, and we kind of knew that was going to happen here in the last few months. I mean, it was just like to the point where, you know, we've got to try to refinance stuff, and it's gonna work. Well, I think once you get it built and, you know, you get it operational, it's going to work. I mean, you know, it's just, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. But they're expecting it to be completed in 2025 as opposed to the next year.
Yeah, and he's not the only developer that's probably seeing those woes either.
Yeah. Oh, you know, no, they all are.
Yeah, everybody's experiencing something like this. So
yeah, we're seeing a lot, even the developers, which was very interesting. The one I talked about earlier, the $100 million one, they have their own money, their own financing, so it's kind of ready to go. But a lot of them that are relying on banks and stuff, they're all taking a pause, and they're saying, you know, hopefully, you know, the windows prices and the metal prices and the concrete prices will drop. So we'll see.
Yeah. You know. And at a time when, you know, banks are failing right now, you know, I think most of them are probably a little bit more, you know, clutching their, They're purse strings, you know. Yeah. They're not really
the pearls.
You know, the pearls, yeah.
Yeah, the pearls.
They're white knuckling, and they're thinking, we don't. We're not in a position to loan anybody right now. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So that was that's a little bit on the Margaritaville. Yeah, the next thing is I had something on the agenda this last week. I discussed the conditional use of the daily bread, and that actually, you know, that brought a little bit of controversy. But anytime you talk about that, about the daily bread or anything, that brings controversy. But I did that for several reasons, and I just felt that, you know, that, you know, I'm going to maintain the, you know, a cleanliness of the city, and really, it was kind of, in my opinion, out of control out there. Not, you know, Daily Bread's a great organization. That's one thing I said, let's not take away from what they do and the meals they serve. But they've evolved to a position where, you know, more case-based management. And so they've made some changes because really, and I call it like I see it, it looked like Skid Row. I mean, you go out there and people land on the sidewalks, you can't use the parks. And, you know, 30% of our police and fire, you know, our calls are quality of life issues, and it's a, you know, it's a taxing on our public safety employees. So it's something that you know, I called for a discussion of the conditional use, because every so often, you know, we look at that, and really, I hadn't done that since I was mayor, and I thought it was important. We had some people, a lot of people complaining, the homeowners, and really, I'm going to fight for the residents, because, you know, you buy a home and you live in a neighborhood, you know, you expect, you know, to feel safe with your, you know, you expect that you can let your kids go outside. That's one of the reasons I've cracked down hard on these zombie houses, you know.
Right.
You know, the last thing I want to hear is someone say, hey, you know, I can't let my kids go outside because, you know, you got a foreclosure house and people are out there, you know, they're just terrorizing the neighborhood. So I put that on the agenda and discussed it, and it's interesting because Daily Bread has you know, it's something kind of working on this last couple of weeks. I think they've come out with a great plan that's going to focus on people that want help. They made a couple comments I thought really were key, that, you know, some of the people that go there thanked them for this, because they're like, look, you know, we want help, and now you have the ability to spend your time on me and someone who, you know, and it's really important. So it's really, in my opinion, they're going through some phases. It's a good neighbor action plan, and if you'll put that up, we'll kind of go through what they're doing now. And really, I went by a little bit ago and took some pictures, and honestly, it looked great. I mean, and we want to keep it that way, but this went in effect on May 3rd. This is something that they started nightly outreach and zoning enforcement, establishing schedules and nightly street outreach process, conduct de-escalation training, enforcement of the code of conduct on campus with a zero tolerance mindset. That's very important. The fact is, you know, we don't really ever hear complaints from the CETA mission. Why? Because if you go there and act like a fool, they're going to kick you out.
Right.
They don't put up with that. You're going to work to get a job. You're going to basically attend, you know, their scheduling. And then, of course, a compassionate firmness training. And that started phase one, which is effective May 3rd. The next one, phase two, just started the other night. And I'm starting to see really great results from them. Their managed access to campus to change focus on long-term services versus a daily drop-in schedule, resulting in a more peaceful, purposeful environment. So what that means, instead of, hey, we're just going to feed you and you just go, you know, you're going to go through their program. The next one is all clients will undergo registration and reassessment.
Okay.
So you're going to register. You know, you're going to be assessed what you need. And it's really going to be more of a for the people that will benefit from the services, instead of, honestly, people just going there. And they're troublemakers. And you know, I'm not going to go negative here.
Right.
In my opinion, Daily Bread served you whether you're disorderly or not. And really, that put a, you know, that brought a mentality that, hey, we can go there and hang out. I mean, right down the road, it's not happening at CETA. Why is it happening at
right.
Daily Bread? So it's right there. Only those clients requiring long-term services and able to benefit from Daily Bread services will be admitted. So I think that's key. Now, that's only the beginning. That is not the, you know, we're not done. But that's going to be enforced. And like we were getting called, we got pictures. I'm not going to put them all up. There's so many that, you know, you know, just garbage everywhere and stuff. But these are the pictures from today. Kind of if you'll show these pictures from today, what when I drove by there kind of gave you an idea of the, the neighborhood. If you'll pull these up.
Yeah, there's one. Again, much cleaner streets.
Now look at the streets. I mean, next one. Next, I mean, clean. Everything clean. Everything's clean. I mean, no tarps, no tents, none of that.
Right.
I mean, honestly, it looks like a regular street block, you know?
Yeah.
And the residents in that area deserve that. I mean, the people complain that, hey, we have Wells Park. They can't even use the park.
Right.
I mean, I'm, you know, I'm putting an end to that. I mean, the fact is, you know, I should better let my child out to go play in the park and not worry that they're going to step on a needle. I think that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, look, you know, there's some cities that turn a blind eye. I'm not going to turn a blind eye to that, you know? You know, we recently, you know, we cleaned up a bunch of camps. We've been, you know, we're working on actually some of the houses too, the zombie houses. If you look at some of the ones we had on Juniper, Sherwood Boulevard, right. Garfield, that's been cleaned up. A handful of them, we've been getting those cleaned up. And what we've actually done is, and I know I've talked about it before, is suing the banks to force them into foreclosure, well, when they're in foreclosure, to get them in private hands. Because, you know, people will flip them and turn them into something and get a good family in them. So right. People appreciate that. You know, when I heard that, when I became mayor, I heard that we had foreclosures that were sitting there since like 06, 07. I'm like, how in the hell do you do a foreclosure for like 15 years?
Yeah.
I mean, if I didn't pay my mortgage for 5 months, I'm out of there.
Oh, yeah.
You too, evictions. Jesse. You're out of there.
Yeah, no kidding.
Can you imagine? Hell, buy a house, don't even pay it. You know, they'll never, you know, it's like, no. And then, of course, what does that do? It just, the neighbor, it's a broken window theory in law enforcement. If you let a broken window set, it's only going to, you know, get worse.
Yeah, so. And people want their property values to go up, not stay stagnant or even depreciate because, you know, of a couple delinquent homes.
Yeah, so we started doing that. That's something that we're working on. You know, I've had a lot of people reach out to me, and I'm going to really, you know, we're going to – Bill Miller. I'm going to engage Bill Miller. Let me tell you about Bill Miller. You know, Bill Miller, me and him go at it, and I respect the hell out of Bill. Bill, I know you were a little bit late to the meeting because – he kind of got mad at me, and I understand that. I respect that. What had happened is he came in about eight something. I'd put it on the agenda, and it was on the last of the agenda, and we had a former elected official say that we were making a vote that we weren't. Mm-hmm. And so we had quite a few senior citizens show up, and you know, I didn't want him to sit for a couple hours through engineering stuff. Because you don't want to go. You want to go speak in your government, and you get 3 minutes, and you got to wait 3 hours. I'm just,
right.
I don't think that was right. So I told everybody at the beginning, look, I'm going to pull this up, give everybody plenty of time to speak. I'll give you more than 3 minutes. I mean, I made it perfect. If you're going to come here and take your evening out to speak, I'm not cutting you off at 3 minutes. You know, we're gonna get this worked out together. And Bill, you're the one that even came up in front of council a couple weeks ago and said they were not living up to their conditional use. And you know what? I heard you, Bill. And again, me and you can argue all day long, but I heard you. And I said I'm gonna put it on the agenda. So you missed it, and I said it because you were late. And you woke up. You come in. Look, it's all in fun, Bill. You came in I had said it before. Look, we had Mr. Miller come up and he spoke, and you know what? He had a legitimate gripe, so I put it on the agenda. So, you know, that was one of the big reasons, him and a couple of the business owners down in downtown Melbourne. So, Bill, I heard what you said, there's some of the pictures from tonight, and I'm gonna keep an eye on it, and I know you will too. So me and you can butt heads all day long, and I know you and I will both work together to get what's done right in that area. So I appreciate what you're doing, Bill, and just honestly, keep coming at me because you're keeping me on my toes. I appreciate it.
That's
how you deal with someone that you want to go out with. You know, keep it up. You know, as long as I'm in government, keep me in check. I'm okay with that. You know, so, and you know what? If you come and speak, Bill, I'll give you more than 3 minutes. How's that? Is that a deal? I'll do that for Bill.
Yeah.
So, and all Bill's right. been rough on me. Bill's been rough.
Giving you hell.
Yeah, that's okay. I bet Bill, you know, and you know what? Rightfully so, because he's lived in an area where he's, you know, he's had to put up with this crap, and it's not right. Not for right for him or any other homeowners. So I respect right. that. So you're the you're one of the main reasons I did that, Bill. So look at the pictures, and that's you, man. So, but that's what's going on there out there. And again, Daily Bread's a great organization, but they need to realize that they got to focus on managed care, and they're good at that. They're very good, you know, on the housing issue that we have in Brevard. I want to give out a shout out to somebody else out there, John Thomas from the Home Builders Contractors Association. They had come about some affordable and workforce housing, and they made some recommendations the other night, him and Bruce Moya, about, you know, I guess in city code for like affordable housing, if it's a two bedroom, you must have a two parking spots. It's like most people affordable housing, they don't need two parking spots. You know, so we got to dial that down, and that's coming back in an ordinance. And what that does, it allows people to build that, because if you're coming in to build, let's say, 200 units, why would you have to put 400 parking spots? Imagine like that. You got an empty parking lot.
Right.
So, you know, that's something that, you know, they came out with a great solution, and we were enacting that. I appreciate my council for, you know, backing me on that too, because I couldn't do it without a supportive council either. So
yeah, the HBCA are a great group of people. I was a proud member for a little bit. So, yeah, great leadership, really good membership, and they do a lot of outreach.
Yeah, and actually John Thomas, he just announced, he's actually getting ready to announce that he's going to run for school board. There's going to be an open seat in the school board. He's getting ready to announce for that, and I think honestly he'd be a great asset on that school board. And one of the reasons is I'm a firm believer that our kids in school have to get back and learn trades. I believe they got to learn, you know, they got to learn how to, you know, balance their checkbooks. They need to learn about financing, you know, how to save and to buy a house. You know, I think that's very important. And if we can do that, John's very big into that, you know, leading the HBCA. But he does, you know, having somebody like that, you know, that's huge. I mean, and that's huge.
And more than that, more than just financial literacy, you know, I remember home ec.
Yeah.
Learning how to, you know, make a breakfast.
How come you never made me breakfast? Huh?
I would love to scramble some eggs for you, Mayor.
I bet you would. I bet you would.
I'll grill some ham. We'll have a grill.
There you go. You know, you would have egged my house if eggs weren't so expensive.
No kidding.
You know? If it wasn't $6 a dozen.
No kidding.
You go to egg my house, I'll be out there catching them.
Hey, you know, you can't even toilet paper a tree no more because it's so expensive.
I know. It's crazy. You know, people go out there and, you know. That didn't work. But yeah, that's what we got going on. So that was good with the Daily Bread and what's going there. And really, we're going to get this right. We're going to continue to improve and clean our city. Looking forward to that. I know a lot of people are wanting that. And you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Well, I think with your leadership and, you know, the right people who support the city, because we have a lot of organizations that are standing by ready
great
to help
organization.
A hand. Yeah.
Great organization. Yeah, we have one now. The CETA is putting a place up there on Aurora. It's right there on Julia. It's Julia. It's Aurora Road. It's Stewart. And they just broke ground, and they're putting a shelter there for women and children for, like, domestic violence and stuff. Really nice. I met with them and went over the plans, and I'm going to assist them on the side, you know, not with the city, but as a contractor, I want to assist them and help them out with that. And it's going to be a place where they can go and, you know, and help them get jobs and help them watch their kids while they go to work. And it's going to be like three buildings, and really nice. And got to do laundry on site. It's going to be really,
that's important.
Very, and it looks like office buildings, and what they're putting up, it's very professional. They've already raised all the money. I think it's $1.8 million. They raise, so
wow.
Yeah, it's going good. So it's going real good. So and then there's Gerald Paradis. Hey Gerald, hey buddy, how you doing? Gerald, I'm gonna give a shout out to Gerald there. He, when we were doing a lot of the changes for the affordable, I'm on the affordable housing committee. We were doing a lot of the changing. He's really a zoning and engineering kind of expert. He's very good, very caring. He's really good. So he was in my ear a lot, and it's somebody I can say, hey, man, what is this? And, you know, I don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. But the key to a good leader is you surround yourself with people that know, and then you got to listen. You know, I noticed that a lot of people, like officials, they don't listen. They don't listen. They, you know, they know it all, and they got a plan, and they're afraid to say my plan was wrong, or back off that plan, because they know that it'd be used against them in the next election. Well, he said this, but he did this. Mm. I mean, look, I'm not a lifetime politician. Never was, never will be. And you got to be able to say, look, that didn't work. We got to try it this way, or his idea is better than mine. And if we did that in this country, we'd be in a lot better
opposition.
Instead of just
nobody backs down. Nobody takes a everybody wants to gain and gain and gain and not compromise.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that with the budget. We're seeing that at the federal level, and it hurts everybody involved.
Yeah. And it's something that if you did that, I tell you, if you look at the Melbourne dais, you know, if you were to hit the nonpartisan position, but we have five Republicans and two Democrats, and normally have a 7-0 vote because, you know, I'll lay it out and I'll say, this is why we're doing this. And I mean, honestly, I'll challenge my council members. You got a better idea, bring it up. I mean, yeah. I'll listen and put mine up against yours. And you know, that think that's fair. And normally they, you know, if they do, we'll go with it.
Well, you have a proper debate. You look at both sides, you know, you weigh it out, pros and cons. I mean, we used to play these games all the time. You know, but we forgot because, you know, ego gets in the way and everything else. You know, I mean, it's you know, we need to compromise and we need to have a good discourse again.
Yeah, and I see Nick Babcock. He's highly skeptical that works out, but if it does, I'll applaud. Well, I will tell you this: they've laid out their security plans. They met with the city. They're no longer a walk-in. You can't just walk in and go get food and hang outside the gate. You can't do that no more. So. I'm not skeptical. I'm holding everybody accountable. And you know, at the end of the day, it's only been a couple days yet, but look at the pictures that I put up. Man, it looks, you know, already changed. We got to be responsible and stay on it, make sure it's done. And I believe they'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Daily Bread has a vested interest in the city and, you know, in their organization, and you know what, they've been a great partner with the city. I will say this about Daily Bread: you know, when we had the cold weather shelter, right. We needed it. I relied on Daily Bread. I called Jeff and I said, hey, you know, we, you know, it's going to be 32 degrees and, you know, 33 degrees, and you know, and we have no shelter. And I worked with him and Pastor Tooley over at the First Church of the Nazarene on Babcock. We had our meetings there. They opened up a little bit, and then we actually, my council was generous, 7-0. We voted and we opened up our community center, because our community center should be for everybody. And
right.
And we had the extra room, and it was orderly. People brought in animals. They had their dogs in. They put them in, you know, they were with them, cages. And in the morning they were gone, and everything was fine. So, you know, we got to do that. You know. And it worked out really good. So, you know, kudos to Pastor Tooley and his staff over at First Church of the Nazarene, you know. And that's just one of many of the organizations that we partner with. So, what else we got on the agenda?
Well, you have a fundraiser coming up.
Oh, I got a great fundraiser.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this is gonna be for Life Recapture. It's next Thursday night.
Yeah.
Next Thursday. Are you gonna be there?
I'm gonna try to make it.
You better, you can't outshoot me.
Well, I haven't shot in a while.
You're right.
Ammo is pretty expensive.
Yeah, ammo.
9mm isn't 25 cents no more. It's like 50 cents around, and even for a full metal jacket.
You know what? I'm gonna buy your ammo.
You're gonna buy my ammo.
So I can show you how to shoot.
You got it.
Yeah. So it's funny because we're gonna have that. It's gonna be all the money's gonna go to Life Recaptured. We have some great sponsors that's helping out with this. Wassey's Meat Market. They're gonna be giving out raffling off a green egg. D Bell General Contracting, Dave Bell and Jade, and they're awesome. They always they're always given to the community. Actually, they were the volunteer contractors on our Pilock dog parks. So
yes.
You know, they did all that, and that was great. And so, you know, what other sponsors we got up there?
Well, yeah, we have D Bell, we have American building and contractors, Wilco Defense, the Revolver sponsor, and the media sponsor is Destination Brevard, Ryan.
Destination Brevard, you're a great group. You know, I will say his stuff works. His stuff definitely works. Yesterday he had put out a thing on Melbourne Seafood Station.
Yes.
You ever been there?
Yes.
I never been there.
Really?
Never been there.
They have two locations.
No, they don't.
They have what?
They got four.
They have four now?
They got four.
Oh. Well, I've been to the one right here on US 1.
Yes.
You know, across from the mansion.
Mm-hmm. That's one.
And I've been to the one on O'Galley.
That's two.
Right.
I went to the one at West Melbourne.
Oh.
They have the one in West Melbourne. It,
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's in West Melbourne, kind of Palm Bay-ish West Melbourne. It's right there off Palm Bay Road. And then I got to look where the other four, but there was four because there was four to choose for them.
No way.
So I'd never been there.
And you did all you could eat?
Well, no, my daughter did.
Oh, Maddie. And how did she do?
Well, I think they shut Melbourne Seafood Station down. No, she did. She killed it? I didn't know they did that. And, you know, my 17-year-old daughter loves crab legs, and we went to Red Lobster, and she's like, Dad, can I get crab legs? Sure. She got a bunch, and the bill was, like, so expensive. I was, like, broke. And so I saw it pop up, and on Destination Brevard, I saw it pop up. I was like, I've never been there. I cannot. And I went there. It was amazing. Absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
You know what? 10 out of a 10. The people working there yesterday, they're so nice. They were prompt. The food was outstanding.
Good seasoning.
Yes.
Fresh. Yeah, because there's nothing worse than having the snow crab, and having it like bend and you can't even snap it.
Yeah, no, they were crackling. It was, you know, I really like the atmosphere because you know you're not sitting down, you know, trying to eat proper. You know, that's not me. You know, it's not. It was like, you go in there, it's got the high table, it's really clean. Right. You know, it's really neat. So I went in there, first time, I'll go back. Yeah. I love it there.
It sounds like we got to try it out together. Oh, it's somebody chimed in. It looks like they're the other locations in Vieira.
Oh, okay. That somebody else put it. Yeah, Vieira. Yeah, that's.
Rosemarie Agueda, is a casino coming to the area.
Oh, okay. Is a casino coming into the area?
And we'll take a couple more questions if anybody.
We'll take. It didn't pop up for me. I don't have those yet. You know, I got. I don't see that question. What's the question? Is a casino coming there?
Is a casino coming?
That's a great question, and I, not that I know of. And let me kind of explain that a little bit. There was rumors that there was a Hard Rock coming out to 95. You know, here's what gets me. I know the Seminole signed that deal with the state, and they were giving them $1.5 million a day. And I would look from a business standpoint, and I would say they would not give the state that much money if they didn't plan on expanding or whatever, or get exclusive rights. Mm-hmm. That's just a lot of money, $1.5 million a day, and it's just crazy, $500 million or something for the year. So to me, in my mind, that told me there's got to be a casino.
Right.
I heard Rent-A-Cur's went for sale. I think it sold. I mean, you're a realtor guy. You know, I think it did go to sale. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. That's in the county, and they, in order for them to get water and sewer, it would have to be annexed into the city of Melbourne. Mm-hmm. And I would likely be the first to know, because I know a lot of projects I can't speak about, and they have not contacted me. I mean, I haven't heard anything yet.
Right.
Does that mean it's not coming? That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
What I'm saying is it hasn't evolved yet. It's just weird that, you know, they're giving all that money to Seminoles, they're giving all that money to the state of Florida. $1.5 million a day, every day. A million, you can give me $1.5 million a day.
No kidding.
That's crazy, you know. But is it coming? If it is, I don't know it yet. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I also look at it as that area is growing. I mean, if I were to put it somewhere, I would target the Space Coast. I mean, you have one in Tampa, you have one in Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, again, we've had this discussion before. In order for that kind of gaming to exist, it really needs to be on Seminole land. So unless the state of Florida is also going to just gift the property to the Seminole tribe of Florida so they can have that style of gaming.
Right.
because that would have to happen as well.
And right, and so yeah, so you have other
reservation is Fort Pierce.
Yeah.
And so unless they do get, you know, land up here, which, you know, I mean, I welcome the tribe. You know, I've worked with Seminoles. They're a great tribe. They give back. I would have no problem, you know, seeing, you know, gaming here. But, you know, I'm not sure if it's everybody's cup of tea, but right. It certainly will bring, you know, some money. And if you look at what they did with Hollywood with the big guitar and, you know.
Oh, that's crazy.
And they got, you know, the concerts. They got beautiful venues. So, I mean, yeah, it does have gaming, but they also have the pools. They have the amenities. They have a beautiful hotel. They have.
And they have something that people always ask me about. We need a bigger convention center. I hear that all the time. Well, we want big events. Well, maybe if they were to come, maybe that's something they'd have, a big enough convention center or something. Because they do have concerts there.
Well, I mean, maybe that's just like prerequisite. You know, if you guys want to build, you know, you also have to have 100 square feet of, you know, meeting space. 100,000 square feet.
Yeah, 100,
you know,
100 square feet, not big.
No. But, yeah,
that's your apartment.
If you have 100K, no, that's anybody's bathroom.
Ow!
So 100K of meeting space would be a game changer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we really don't have that amount here. And not that we would replace, you know, Orlando and I Drive, but we would at least be able to hold some really cool, you know, things. You know, maybe, you know, a smaller Surf Expo, maybe a smaller Comic-Con, maybe, you know, smaller concerts and such. So, yeah, I mean, if we could, you know, kind of wheel and deal with the tribe.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great.
So that hopefully that answers it. You know, I, at this time, not yet, but, you know, that's not, I can't say no. I mean, because, you know, you never know. I may get the phone call and they may say, hey, we got, you know, we need water and sewer. So what other questions we have? Mine's not loading for questions.
Chris Griff. Griff. I apologize if I mispronounce. What's going on at the Bredesen on the beach? I heard it sold. Is that Melbourne property? Is that Melbourne Beach?
Yeah.
Bredesen? Okay.
Yeah. The I just basically, I know there's hope. It's, I know they're doing some updates to hotels. They're putting a new one there, but they're doing some updates on the hotels. You know, there, as you see, a lot of people coming in. People are investing in you know, remodeling these hotels. So, you know, they're kind of making it. You know, really, they expect the next couple of years of tourism to increase.
Oh, well, for sure. I mean, we got the new project right by Crown Plaza going up, and not too far down there towards Ichabod's and Bunkies and that whole plaza.
Well, the Lacuna Beach, that's a go.
Yeah, well, we're excited about that. But that's, you know, but I mean, just the properties on the beachside, Cocoa Beach, you know, they're seeing that Westin come in. International Palms is getting leveled.
Right.
So, you know, things are happening all over, you know, the coastline. So, yeah, keep your eyes and ears open. You know, if we hear it first, we'll let you know.
Yeah, any other question that we have?
Not that I see. It looks like we've kind of gone through the motions, and now maybe just remind people what's going on, how they can listen, remind them to share. And thank them for tuning in.
Yeah, well, and listen, I appreciate everybody. Actually, I finally did load. Let's see. Yeah, there's. Yeah, appreciate everybody. Tell Melbourne Police to stop issuing citations for fender benders. I was a police officer for many years, and at the end of the day, you know what? People need to get off their phones. They need to focus on driving.
No kidding.
You know, one of the top complaints I hear is mayors speeding. And, you know, look, at the end of the day, we all got to remember that you get in that car, you know, that's got to be responsible. So you're getting a ticket for a reason, okay? So nobody likes to get a ticket. You know, and it is what it is. So, but yeah, that looks like about all the other questions that we have. Any last ones?
No, but definitely remind everybody to take aim.
Okay, here's one. Chris asked again, are the roads in consideration for the influx? Last Tuesday night at our council meeting, we discussed some of the TPO priorities and some of the expansion of the streets. You know, one thing about here, you know, we'll never grow up to like Fort Lauderdale, et cetera. We'll never be like that. And one of the reasons is we don't allow certain building heights. You know, you can only go so high, so many feet. 86 something feet or something. So you'll never see that. And I tell people, people like, oh, why we're getting another hotel? Nothing will be built bigger than the Trinity Towers, or the other one by the old galley. Nothing be bigger than that. You know, are we getting more people on the roads? Unfortunately, yes.
Right.
But yeah, we're expanding the road. You see a lot of construction going on. What we're really focused on too is bike safety. If you look at downtown Old Galley, they're doing all that because we need better crosswalks. We need better bike safety. You know better than anybody.
And pedestrian safety. And cycling safety.
Yeah, we need safety. So we're, you know, when you come into office and everything was built from the 50s and 60s and, you know, and we're trying you know, we're working hard but I will tell you, you know, go up to some other these other places, Orlando, I-4 and stuff, we'll never be like that. And, you know, we're doing a lot of things behind the scenes I don't talk about. One of the things, like we talked about the other day, is ITS, where when you go down US-1, all the traffic lights need to be in sync. See, that's a big factor, too. They hadn't been done for years. We're doing that now where, you know, you go and you get stopped by every freaking light. You know, if you can get where you're going, you know, that's half the battle.
Right.
I mean, stopping at every light's going to, you know, it'll make you feel traffic's terrible.
But it also, you know, when you do synchronize lights like that, it only works if you're going to speed limit.
Yeah.
If you're racing ahead, you're going to catch that the last bit of that red light ahead of you.
Yeah.
But if you go to speed limit, it'll turn green because that's how, you know, it's measured. It's not measured for, you know, 45 to 65. You know, it's measured at a certain speed. So you go to a certain speed, a certain distance, and the light will respond and accordingly, you know.
Yeah.
So it only works if the people work it.
You know, Indigo Sky, schools are not like we grew up anymore, and that worries me. Well, you know, I will agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up here. I went to Sherwood. I went to Johnson. And I graduated O'Galley. And I agree with you. It's definitely different. You know, we don't have any say-so in the schools, at the school board. But hopefully we'll get back to, you know, where there's more responsibility and stuff. And, you know, teachers are empowered more because there's no way I'd get fired the first day. There's no damn way. If a kid's smart off to me, you know, and I'd call their parents, say, you deal with them. If not, I'm going to deal with you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unacceptable, and I agree with you because there's got to be some kids can't just, you know, we can't do that.
The lack of discipline, the curriculum that doesn't really make sense, it doesn't prepare kids to go on to further education or into the career field.
Yeah.
And there's so much opportunity because I remember we had what they call OJT. You know, by the time you're a junior, senior, your last two periods are to go and work and put in time, almost like an internship, at a, you know, whether you're a mechanic or a travel agency, you picked. You know, you go work with your parents. As long as you're, you know, that on-job training was valid and you could prove that you've been there and it was successful because people, you know, not everybody is a college-bound kind of person. You know, some people just want to, you know, get the skills to do what, you know, the family business is.
You know, when I went to O'Galley, I took 3 years of auto mechanics. And you know what? I would say now, if you were to ask me what's the best courses that I took, it was that. I didn't become an auto mechanic, but that got my mind ready to you know, to when I got out of high school, and I ended up going to the Bavard electrical apprentice program for a little while. But I learned that I can build anything. I'm a contractor now, a home inspector. I got many licenses, but I look at something, and from even the mechanical standpoint, cars are different. I really can't work on them now because now you plug something in and it tells you, you know. Okay. But if I see like a 72 Chevelle, oh, I can make that thing, hook up nitrous oxide to that thing, you know, get a ticket on US-1, right?
Well, but, that was when it was just a manifold and a carburetor, and you know, exactly. Things were easy. You know, now you need special tools and diagnostic equipment. You know, it has really taken but I think that's by design.
Yeah.
You know, car automobile companies want you to go back to the dealership for every little, you know, every little service, and instead of, you know, people doing it themselves. So, you know, some of those things are by design. But, you know, we're in an aerospace community, and, you know, it's healthy for kids to maybe get those skill sets, like, you know, working on airplanes and jet engines and other things, because they're surrounded by it here.
Well, you know, like O'Galley High School, someone says go Commodores. I'm going to say go Commodores. You know, like I said, I'm actually, as we know, we've looked into it, I'm the first O'Galley graduate mayor. city for the city of Melbourne. So
that's
pretty
awesome.
Cool. Pretty cool. So very proud of that. I never thought I'd be mayor, but you know, I love the Bulldogs. You know, mm-hmm. when they try to change the name of the Melbourne Bulldogs, I fought that when I wanted Melbourne to be Melbourne. I always tell the Palm Bay mayor, hey, this Palm Bay High School's amazing because it's in the city of Melbourne, not mm-hmm. Palm Bay. I rallied him on that's all good fun.
That's
but
hilarious.
You know, we have MCC, Holy Trinity, but you know, O'Galley, if you go in there mm-hmm. now, you see what they're doing with the you know, the airplanes. My daughter's in the program for you know, to the aviation program. So I guess all the kids that get out of there, they get like good jobs at like 35, 40 grand a year.
High paying jobs.
And
jobs that are in demand.
Yeah, and they're actually getting ready to start building at the airport the Dassault Falcon campus. So we'll be building those jets here for
the French company.
Yeah, the French company.
And they need local, you know, talent. They need people with those skill sets.
Yeah, and you know, we got a lot of amazing organizations going here.
Right.
And like so we're working on it for, you know, to be almost like the semiconductor, you know, building place of the East Coast. So Melbourne, like to see everybody be able to get good jobs and, you know, live, you know, prosper here. Because growing up here, you know, I don't tell a lot of people, my dad worked for GDC back when they went bankrupt in Palm Bay, and mm-hmm. he was a roofer there. And, you know, I remember when, you know, nobody had jobs, and in his house, he bought it in Sherwood Park, you know, interest rates was like 16% on a house. And, you know, it was just, I remember as a kid those days of the struggles, and the church on Post Road would bring us food because, you know, my family didn't have food. So mm-hmm. I remember those days, and there's no way I want my kids or, you know, anybody's kids or their families to live like that,
right.
You know. And, you know, I want the opportunities to be here. Now, you have to go out there and work and get the opportunity, but it's got to be available to you, and that's
right.
What's very important to me as mayor.
100%.
So,
but, lovely.
But anyway, that's all good. I see Rick Tracy, Venerable there. Hey, Rick, how you doing, man? He actually moved back here. He moved away and he got smart and he moved back. I'm glad to see him come back. Miss him. Good man. But the street lights need some attention. Many lights not working. Could be ours. Could be FPL. It could be county. You just, if you'll send me where it's at, I'll make sure our staff gets on that. Find out. You know, here's one. The reason is because supervisors require it for a ticket. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think that's lawful. You know, you can't require an officer. I do know from being licensed in insurance, a lot of the insurance companies, they will find like a subrogation fault where they'll say, you know, nobody got a ticket, so we're going to make you at fault, and people will raise hell. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, he hit me, it was minor fender bender, but my insurance company say I'm at fault. They'll say that all the time, and they'll demand that, hey, I wasn't at fault. And really the insurance industry wants a ticket written, you know, for two reasons. One, find fault. Two is probably to raise your premium.
No kidding.
You know, that's not a big surprise. Look, I don't hide nothing here. You know what? You know, if you don't like it, you know, you can always tune out, right?
That's right.
Right. So I don't think it's lawful either, but that's what he said to me when I called him on the phone. So, I'm not sure. It's very interesting. That's something maybe you can actually, you know what, I worked there, I retired out of there. You can always ask for the SOP that says he's got to write a ticket, because it would be in writing, and I'm sure, you know, that it's got to be in writing, or it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I don't really see any more questions. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Next week we'll be doing again, my fundraiser there, Take Aim with the Mayor. Basically you get to shoot against me if you can beat me, which you probably can't. You'll get a nice coin. You'll get a nice coin.
A challenge coin?
Yeah, you get like a challenge coin. Then we have dinner afterwards. It's really nice, and all the money goes into a great organization that helps women that's been trafficked. And if you look, it's
you don't have to shoot. You just get a raffle ticket.
Yeah, too. You can get a raffle. You can come to dinner, just to dinner. You don't have to shoot. You know, and you can come and we'll have dinner. And again,
a lot of cool gifts.
Yeah, a lot of cool gifts. And again, it's 100% goes to Life Recaptured, a great organization that, you know, they, you know, I've talked to some of the girls that are the ladies and that they helped out that were, you know, traffic, and it's amazing what this organization does, and gets these ladies a chance to live again. They take in their animals, and you know, best they can, and they get them, you know, give them back, help them get their self-esteem, and get them back in the, you know, get their life back. And so I'm a proud supporter of that. And see, a lot of people don't know I'm a pretty good shot. When I was stationed in the Coast Guard in Station Miami Beach, we worked at the whole weekend, weekend duty, and we had a gun range. And when it wasn't busy, I probably shot a million rounds through a Beretta. So look,
a 9mm Beretta.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
Yep. I mean, old school. But you know what? We'll see, and we'll see for bragging rights. You know what? If you can outshoot me, that's fine. You know, you can claim the title, and you probably win some nice gifts,
and it's for a good cause.
And it's for a great cause. Yeah. And I appreciate John Casey out there, everything he's doing for Life Recaptured. I know he works his tail off in the community. He works it for Life Recaptured. So I appreciate that. So, all right. Well, I guess what we'll call tonight, and I want to congratulate all the high school seniors that graduated.
Class of 23.
You know what? Life is easy now. It's going to be so easy now that you're out of high school. Can we have some sound that goes, you know?
I do have this.
Do we got a sound or something? We could. Oh, that's terrible. A baby crying. You just lost me like 12 boats, Jesse. Wow. No. Hey, if we don't have fun, what the hell, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but anyway, thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll catch you in 2 weeks. Actually, next week, come out to Frog Bone Shooting Center. Then, you know, come and join us for dinner, and you can get tickets at Eventbrite and shoot a little bit if you want, and support Life Recaptured, and then we'll take it up after that. Again, thank you and Jesse and Space Coast Podcast for you and everyone else.
I appreciate it. Until next time, guys, have a beautiful night and a safe Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day.